Oh, man.
All right, so you guys ready to talk about Porcupine?
Yeah, let's do it.
They are one of my favorite animals.
The first song in the list, alphabetically, Balance Lost.
It's on the news, authority abused again. They thought they'd never get caught, but then we saw another victim, the revolving door that keeps on spinning. What can we do if they won't listen? Consequence, there's something missing. There's a million of us, a thousand of them. I like those odds, it has to end. I'm gonna be trouble again.
Trouble, trouble, we can't help people like you. Are you causing trouble again?
All right, who wants to take first swing at this one?
I will talk about the fact that I was listening to this at my day job, and the lyric, on a porcupine, the pricks are on the outside, made me laugh out loud like an idiot at my day job. I will say that right off the bat. And I was ready to hate this song. The vocals often kind of seem like they're going sharp, but then the kick-in happened, and I was on board. So that was what I immediately ended up liking about that.
I thought that was a question of, like, the mix was made to the end of the song, and then there was never a correction that was made at the beginning of the song to, like, smooth out the experience.
Yeah, and then they kind of lost me again at about the 1 minute 53 second mark up until, like, the 2 minute 32 second mark. That section was an instrumental section that almost seemed unnecessary, and then the speeding up detracted, I think, from the song even more. Rather than being, like, this fun new element, I thought that, yeah, it just didn't feel necessary. The songwriting, fairly solid. The kick-in, great. Overall, you know, it was mixed for me.
I liked the speed-up at the end. I really did. Yeah.
So Agony Sauce is split on it.
Well, I mean, it's just a question of which one is the agony and which one's the sauce.
This is true.
Clearly, you're the sauce.
It was also a key modulation, too, at the end. Like one of those gear change key modulations.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I guess it's sort of taboo to do that because it was so tacky throughout the 70s and maybe early 80s. But maybe it's cool again. I don't know.
Yeah, the gear changes. Yeah, maybe it. Yeah, you might be exactly right.
We took all that crap for gear changes in whichever song it was that we did that had that in your eye. And it was like, I don't know. I just like them. It's fine. It's fine to me. I like the speed up at the end mostly because it made it sound different. Because I felt like the way it built up and it sounded, and there was like a different thing that happened from the, like, the first third of the song maybe until, like, the band, like, seriously kicks in. And then there needed to be something else that happened, and I felt like it was sort of getting boring by the end.
I'll agree with that, but I just wish that it had been something different than what they actually did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, the only thing that really struck me, or not the only thing, but the main thing that really struck me about the song is the way that every verse starts out with that sort of hypothetical premise. Like, what's different between a porcupine and a police, or what's similar? What is it actually? I don't remember.
Porcupine and a policeman, and I think porcupine and a politician.
Yeah, like
it was Parliament versus a police car.
Oh, okay.
And that initial joke is at least 30 years old. I remember telling it back then when I'd first heard it. And I happen to know somebody with a BMW, and that's how I'd first heard it. So I'd tell it to them. I'd say, you know, what's the difference between a BMW and a porcupine? And you'd say, well, right, a porcupine, right. The pricks are on the outside. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's an old, old, old joke. And that's one of the first things that hit me when this title was announced, too. And then first song alphabetically that pops up, the first song that I listened to for this fight ends up, the very first lines are that joke. And I'm like, oh, okay. I wonder if we're going to get a ton of that during this. So, but this was the only one that did, which is fine.
They went with your first instinct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm all for that. Everybody should go with my first instinct when they write.
It would be a lot better if they did.
Yeah.
I'm a caveman. Very simple. Like, I really like it when there's like a sort of a buildup. And, like, the first verse starts very low energy, the pre-chorus picks it up a notch, and the chorus has a bunch of great energy. That's such a common trick, but I'm still amused by it every time. So I really like that. I like the chorus a lot. It was my favorite part of the song.
Yeah, I think it was good songwriting overall. And I still would rather that they did what they did than what we are going to hear in some of these other ones where there's no dynamics whatsoever and it's just flatline the entire time. At least it didn't do that.
Also, with this one, I hadn't known that porcupines have an odor. And I'd never also considered them like in black and white, but apparently they are black and white. They always seem sort of, you know, mid-range tone to me. But yeah, so then I went to Wikipedia, and sure enough, the quills are black and white, and they emit an odor, you know, so that was convenient for his second joke.
I feel like he may have went to Wikipedia to research the lyrics.
Yeah, that's probably safe.
I mean, I know someone else who did that, too. John Benjamin.
Which is weird. I mean, he said that in the last podcast, but I mean, yeah,
he proclaimed his love for Wikipedia songs.
Yeah, but then when you go to that song, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when you go to that song, it's more lore than it is science, and except for the genus and species. But we're not talking about that song yet. I thought the opening vocal delivery of this Balance Lost song, it seemed kind of overly melodramatic, especially with the joke entry.
Yeah.
But then it quickly morphed into something stronger, and I liked that. I thought the lyrics were great, and I love the guitar work in this. It's really
The guitar work's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a lot of these songs, I noticed the vocals as the mix. The vocals for a lot of these songs are really high in the mix to me, and they're also like really compressed. In this particular song is something that I noticed as the compression even sounded a little bit hissy to me. I don't know if you guys felt that way about it.
Mo, you always say that the vocals are too loud in the mix, though.
Yeah, but every time I say that to somebody and they say, no, they aren't, I ask them, what do you listen to as your reference mix? And they always say, I don't listen to reference mix.
What's a reference mix?
I mean, don't get me wrong. You're not wrong. Oh, yeah, the idea of the reference mix, I should just let Mo answer it. But now since I've started talking, I will. Would be the idea that for comparing and contrasting, you listen to a song that you really like and then go back to listening to the mix that you've done and you compare and contrast it with the professional song. And by comparing an A to B comparison, you can be like, oh, this song that I like, the vocals are a lot quieter, so I should adjust to make it more like this great song that I like.
Right.
I get it. So, Chumpy, what's your Yoko Ono comparison mix here?
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay. All right.
That just sounds like a recipe for depression, that kind of A being.
There you go. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mo.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. But I would say, like, it helps if you know what kind of sound you're going for. Right. So if you start out, you're doing a song and you're like, you know, this song reminds me of Just Like Heaven by The Cure. And now you're listening to that to see like how that's going to go. Or, you know, that's obviously not going to be the same song as if you're sitting there being like, I want to do Stop by Jane's Addiction. Right. And I'm going to listen to that mix. That's a totally different mix. That's a totally different way of approaching the music. So I'm always curious about what people's reference mixes are for the particular songs that they're trying to do,
if any.
Yeah, I think for most of Songfight, it's like, what?
That was a trick that I learned from Puce, though. Puce made a couple of how-to videos for me, and that was one of the first things he talked about was reference mixes. Oh, cool. And how valuable they are.
Yeah, because you're not objective, right? You, yeah. Especially, like, let's say you're a guitar player, something that I have no experience with, and you... You listening to this song and you're like, my guitar solo needs to be like a fuck ton louder. Oh, can I swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. My guitar solo needs to be a fuck ton louder. And then you go back and you listen to anything else and you're like, oh, Jesus, that may not have been a good call because you're used to hearing your guitar tone a particular way, right? So you always want to hear it big. Or if you're the vocalist and you're mixing, you're used to hearing your voice a certain way. You're probably constantly used to turning up your vocal in your headphones so that you can hear yourself better when you're recording or you're performing. You get used to hearing that. I don't know what drummers listen to.
The radio.
But I'm assuming it's the same thing. You know, like you want to hear the nuance in what you're performing. And sometimes that's not the best thing for the song.
Right. Yeah.
That's why we don't let drummers mix the album.
Unless it's like Neil Peart or something, right?
Yeah, or Phil